नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 21, entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, Text 41. Asnatyananta kalutatva kovidai Shradahutam yan muka iccha nami de Navaitata chitana bahiskrite Utasane paramansya payagu Asnatyananta kalutatva kovidai Shradahutam yan muka iccha nami de Navaitata chetanaya bahiskrite Utasane paramansya payagu Asnatyananta kalutatva kovidai Shradahutam yan muka iccha nami de Navaitata chetanaya bahiskrite Utasane paramahamsya payagu Ladies. Asnati, eats, Ananta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kalu, nevertheless, Tatvakovidai, persons in knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Shada, faith, Hutam, offering fire sacrifices. Yatmuke, whose mouth, Ijjanamabhi, by different names of the demigods. Na, never. Vai, certainly. Tata, as much. Chetanaya, by living force. Bahikrite, being bereft of. Huta ashane, in the fire sacrifice. Paramahamsya, regarding devotees. Payagu, never goes away. Translation. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta, eats through the fire sacrifices offered in the names of the different demigods, he does not take as much pleasure in eating through fire as he does in accepting offerings through the mouths of learned sages and devotees. For then he does not leave the association of devotees. Purport. According to Vedic injunctions, a fire sacrifice is held in order to give food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the names of the different demigods. While performing a fire sacrifice, one pronounces the word swaha in mantras such as Indriya Swaha, Aditya Swaha. These mantras are uttered to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead through demigods such as Indra and Aditya. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Naham tistami vaikute yoginam hridayesu va tada tistami narada yatagayanti madbhakta. I am not in Vaikuntha, nor in the hearts of the yogis. I remain where my devotees engage in glorifying my activities. It is to be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not leave the company of his devotees. Fire is certainly devoid of life, but devotees and brahmanas are the living representatives of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, to feed brahmanas and Vaishnavas is to feed the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. It may be concluded that instead of offering fire sacrifices, one should offer foodstuffs to brahmanas and Vaishnavas, for that process is more effective than fire yajna. The vivid example of this principle in action was given by Advaita Prabhu when he performed the Shraddha ceremony for his father. He first of all called Haridas Thakur and offered him food. It is the practice that after finishing the Shraddha ceremony, one should offer food to an elevated brahmana. But Advaita Prabhu offered food first to Haridas Thakur, who had taken his birth in a Mohammedan family. Therefore, Haridas Thakur asked Advaita Prabhu why he was doing something which might jeopardize his position in Brahmana society. Advaita Prabhu replied that he was feeding millions of first-class Brahmanas by offering the food to Haridas Thakur. He was prepared to talk with any learned Brahmana on this point, and proved definitely that by offering food to a pure devotee like Haridas Thakur, he was equally as blessed as he would have been by offering food to thousands of learned brahmanas. When performing sacrifices, one offers oblations to the sacrificial fire, but when such oblations are offered to Vaishnavas, they are certainly more effective. Shakshurun militam yena tasmai si guruve nama. Shri Chaitanya mano vistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam darati swaparantikam. Vandeham si guru si tupadakamalam si kurun vaisnavam scha. Sirpam sagrajatam sahagana raganatan vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vidamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visadana Sutta Devi Pranamami Ripriye Vanchakalpatruvicha Kripa Sanduvyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavivyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare It is stated, Janmanam Jayate Sudra, that by birth everyone is a Sudra, but Sanskarit Bhavit Dvija, by performing sanskaras, regulative principles for purification at different junctions in life, one can become twice born. It is said that Vedapatit Bhavit Vipra, by studying the path of the Vedas, one can become a Vipra. Brahma Janatiti Brahman, that a Brahmana, he knows Brahman. So in this way one can see there are different steps. First one takes his birth as a Sudra, regardless of what family has taken his birth in. And then by a process of purification, one can take a second birth. And that second birth then is the beginning of one's brahminical status. And then a distinction is made between a Vipra and a Brahmana. It is stated that a Vipra is one who is engaged in the Karmakanda rituals of the Vedas and who is strictly adhering by them, but a Brahmana is actually aware of Brahman. He is focusing on transcendence and not only on obtaining a positive material benefit. Karmakanda rituals are those activities that give us benefit in this world, whereas the Brahmanas were worshipping Brahman, were looking for, had an eternal objective in mind. The main process for such Brahmanas to be situated in transcendental consciousness is cultivation of knowledge. And this cultivation of knowledge then is the principal instrument to which a Brahmana is cutting the knot of karma within the heart. Yat anujasina yukta karma granti nibandana. With the sword of knowledge, they're cutting the knot of karma within the heart. And in this way, Brahmanas are practicing sense control, they are practicing following the injunctions of the scriptures, and in this way the Brahmanas are remaining pure in heart, pure in consciousness. They are suci, and that is their glory. Then it is said, a Vaishnava is naturally pure because Chetudarpanam Marjanam, he is cleansing the heart, the mirror of the heart, and within that mirror of the heart there is Krishna. So the Vaishnava, his focus is on Krishna, and because his focus is on Krishna, he would naturally not engage in any sinful activities. And since he would act only for the pleasure of Krishna, and therefore the Vaishnava is always automatically inclined towards sense control, towards behavior according to the scripture. And therefore, he's naturally inclined towards Brahminical principles. No. But still, we see that in this purport, Advaitacharya is being mentioned as the one who is worshipping Haridas Thakur, although he took his birth in a Mohammedan family and was considered untouchable. And Haridas himself was adhering to that mood. We see that when the devotees from Bengal came to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, they all went to the residence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Haridas Thakur was missing. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greeting every devotee and so happy to see everyone. And at one point, he said, "Where is Haridas?" And everyone said, "Yes, where is Haridas? He was here. He came with us. Where did he go?" So someone looked and then they found that Haridas was lying in the street, prostrated, paying his obeisances in the direction of the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally went there, went to meet Haridas, picked him up, embraced him, and Haridas then explained that he was fallen and that he could not come any closer, since the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very close to the Jagannath temple, and Haridas didn't consider himself qualified to even come near the Jagannath temple. So he then just stayed at that spot at a distance, and later was given the Siddhabhakhu garden as his place of residence. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas then, he said, "You just offer your obeisances to the chakra on top of the temple, and that is as good as seeing the deity and offering obeisances to the deity. No difference at all. And I'll arrange that your prasadam will be brought here every day, and I will personally come here to visit you every day." In this way, the Supreme Lord was daily coming to give his darshan to Haridas Thakur. In the same way, Advaita Acharya was worshipping Haridas Thakur. Advaita Acharya had an intimate connection with Haridas Thakur. Both were elders. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before Mahaprabhu appeared, first his elders appeared. And it said, Advaita Acharya, he was the eldest of all. He was 50 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Haridas Thakur 35 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to see an idea. So Haridas Thakur was regularly associating with Advaita Acharya, which of course, from a smarter Brahmana point of view, would be certainly abominable. The fact that Advaita Acharya had taken his birth in a very aristocratic Brahmana family, and that he was associating with this with someone from a Mohammedan background was already awkward. And then he took it a step further by offering him the plate for the Shraddha ceremony. It is extraordinary. The Shraddha ceremony is considered very important. I was reading some information about that the Brahmanas were performing a Shraddha ceremony in a somewhat different way than the Vaishnava Shraddha ceremony. It said the Shakta Shraddha ceremony was of a different nature, because the Shakta idea is to ward off evil influences. That is the whole concept. The worship is to counteract possible evil. Therefore, the Shraddha ceremony by the Shaktas involves various rituals
to ward off evil spirits, because the main motivation is in case someone is still around and might cause trouble, then do a Shraddha ceremony. I was reading how a leader of the Shaktas did a Shraddha ceremony after the departure of Advaita Acharya, and in the course of that burnt a straw effigy, a straw deity of Advaita Acharya, and to ward off any inauspiciousness that possibly was there. And so they were really performing Shraddha in quite a different way, and that was going on in Navadvip and Shantipur and that environment at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Shraddha was something very much part of society, and part of it, Advaita Acharya did not perform that kind of Shraddha ceremony, followed Vaishnava principles, but the main thing was to feed the Brahmanas, and he fed Haridas Thakur, such an amazing activity performed, but showing that a Vaishnava is many times more exalted than a Brahmana, because ultimately all the principles of goodness, such as sense control, cleanliness of consciousness, austerity being the wealth of the Brahmanas, are certainly very important qualities in society at large, but they cannot compare to the benefits that one attains by worshipping the devotee. Because by worshipping the devotee, one becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One becomes recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always with grace looking upon the Vaishnavas. In Bhagavatam, there is also a reference about giving charity, and it is explained that when one gives in charity, that in the next life one is getting it back. So giving in charity is giving to a proper charity given to a needy person, a poor person, comes back in the next life. I don't verbatim remember all the gradations, but it was mentioned that if one gives charity to a qualified Brahmana, that it comes back many fold. So one who gives charity to the Brahmanas in his next life will become wealthy. But it is said that by giving charity to a Vaishnava, one receives unlimited benefit. There's no limit to the benefit. So there again, the same point is made. So we are very eager to worship the Vaishnavas, following in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya. For us, that worship of the Vaishnavas is our saving grace. Especially in this age of Kali, we need a lot of protection, because in the age of Kali, the tendency to be proud is very deeply rooted within the heart of every living being. Therefore, it is extremely difficult to be humble. And therefore, it is very, very easy in this age to offend the Vaishnavas. Also, we are not accustomed to behave according to scriptural injunction. The Vedic culture in some way is quite formal. It is very formal. At least in the Dharma Shastra, there is a lot of injunction for everyone according to his social position, how to deal with other people. And everything is very prescribed. If one is in front of a superior or a teacher, it said one is never allowed to show his back to the teacher. For example, always sort of turning away. Like that, the whole culture is a culture of respect and respect. Of course, it reminds me a little bit of, of our Western culture of being polite, politeness. And when I was young, I was witnessing my family who were like really into this and into being very cultured, and I witnessed the hypocrisy that was kind of part of that. You could see like someone would come and you could sort of read the thought bubbles while they were speaking. Oh, how nice of you to come. Do come in. Oh, I hope they're not going to stay very long in the thought bubbles. You know what I mean? Do have a seat. How are we going to get rid of them? You know? They're going to try to stay till dinner time, of course. Oh, we're eating out tonight, right? You know, just something to... So that hypocrisy. So in my perception, politeness was something to avoid people saying awkward things, you know, like kids do. Oh, look at that man, what a big nose he has, right? Everyone is embarrassed and things like this, you know. Shh, you can't say that, you know. Vaishnav etiquette is certainly essential in Vaishnav culture. And the Dharma Shastra is governing the behavior within Varnashram. And it is quite rigid, very rigid, even more rigid than in our culture, than in Vaishnav culture. In some ways, the Vaishnav culture is a little more informal, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is a more informal movement in many ways. When all the Vaishnavas of Bengal entered Puri, Maharaj Prataparuda was very eager to see them and was on the roof of the palace and asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to introduce everyone. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I don't know everyone personally, but Gopinath Acharya is the best. He will tell you, because he knows everyone very well. So Gopinath Acharya was introducing all the Vaishnavas to Maharaj Prataparuda. And then Maharaj Prataparuda saw that all these Vaishnavas went straight to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's residence and not to the Jagannath temple. And then he saw how Baninath Patanaika with a group of people were bringing in endless baskets of prasadam, and that all these devotees were immediately taking a lot of prasadam. So Maharaj Prataparuda said, how is it that the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not following the general standard of fasting upon arriving in a holy place, shaving their head, first seeing the deity? How come? How come? Said, oh, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were very attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so they immediately went to see him. But why were they not fasting? Said, oh, the devotees of Mahaprabhu, they are not so fanatic about these rules, not so strict about these things. When the Lord himself serves, he serves very abundantly. He gives more than two or three men can eat. So, therefore, they are taking prasadam. So we see that the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is very different. In South India, we see a much more rigid culture according to the Dharma Shastra, and we see a very strong predominant Vedic culture even today. For example, we may read in the Ramayana how Dasarath used to enter his royal court, and it is said that next to the door there was a man who had a huge drum. The drum was like a few meters in diameter, and then he would sit there with big sticks and balls, cloth balls on them, and then boom, boom, beat that drum exactly on the rhythm of the king's steps, and in that way the king would enter into his royal court. So when we went to Tirupati, we saw that at the entrance door the same drum was there. Maybe they brought it over from, anyway, the same sort of drum, a huge drum, and they were beating that drum, and everyone just started to walk in the rhythm, and the roll was slowly coming before Lord Venkatesh, which is actually the name of the deity in Tirupati, also known as Balaji. But Balaji is not the name that the people of the south gave to Lord Venkatesh. The southern name is Lord Venkatesh. Balaji is the name that comes from the residents of Raj, of Vrindavan, and of the Pusti Mark, and so on, the worshippers of the north, who are much more intimate, who stand in front of the deity and just have a bit of a conversation instead of going in with hands glued together and walking past the deity and then going out backwards with hands folded, still looking around the corner. And then the darshans come with a small garbhagriha. That is why the whole architecture of the temples of the Sankirtan movement is of a different nature than the architecture of South India. Because the architecture of the South Indian temples is based on a very small garbhagriha, or a very small area where the deity is located. So there's a basic large darshan mandap, that's the large darshan area, and then the deity is in a little reclused garbhagriha. And that's why you get this row system, the line system, filing through for darshan. And that is why we had to have a dome. Yeah? Prabhupada was in England, looked at St. Paul's Cathedral and said, we have to have a dome. Some people have said, oh, why are they building a dome? It's like the Capitol building. No, Prabhupada wanted a dome. Right? He wanted a dome because the dome is the only thing you can have if you want everyone to be able to take darshan of the Lord at the same time. I was involved in Mayapur Samadhi construction for many years, so I kind of read all kinds of books on Vedic architecture in those days. So there's no solution in that traditional architecture for such a big darshan as we need. That's why we're going to have the biggest dome, okay? Right here, so that we can all take darshan and stay in front of the deities for hours, have endless kirtans, which is described to be the best form of worship of the deities. It is described that greater than fire sacrifices is kirtan. It is a greater form to worship the deity. The best is kirtan. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya's movement is an interesting movement, because the roots of the Sankirtan movement are within the Vedic culture, and there are many aspects of Vedic culture in Lord Chaitanya's movement. But then, at one point, the movement starts to transcend Vedic culture, because it goes onto the spontaneous platform of devotional service, the spirit of the eternal spiritual world. And in that spirit, The pleasure of Krishna is the essence, and not so much whether things are done in a proper regulated fashion and so on. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya's movement, the essence is the pleasure of the Lord, and the essence is not how much we are following this niti and that niti, this rule and that rule. That is secondary. We see that Advaita Acharya, in a way, broke the rules according to the standards of the Brahminical community at the time. But he pointed out that the Brahmanism that ruled India for a long time was not actually understanding the essence of Vedic culture. In India, for a very long time, the smarta Brahmana culture has been predominant. It's not only that at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there was a smarta environment, but rather the smarta Brahmana culture terrorized India for a millennium, or at least a millennium, at least 1,000 years, terrorized India. Everything forbidden, everything more strict than strict. And if it wasn't correct, everyone a sudra, everyone fallen, everyone except the brahmanas. So in this way, we're seeing that Lord Chaitanya's movement is a reform movement which is establishing the true conclusions of the Vedic scripture. Yasya lakshanam praptam pumsa vinavijanyakam yat anyatrapi dristeta tattenaiva vinyadasit, that a Brahminical status has nothing to do with birth, but that it has everything to do with qualification, and that according to one's qualification, one is classified as a Brahmana. But beyond being a Brahmana, being a Vaishnava, comes to a point where so many things are transcendent. For example, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is a story how in Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Advaita Acharya, and he said, "Acharya, where have you just come from?" "Oh, I just took darshan of Lord Jagannath." "Oh, what did you do after the darshan?" "After the darshan, I came here." "No, no, no, what did you do after the darshan?" "I said, after the darshan, I did parikrama of the deities and then I came here." "I have defeated you," Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. "I have defeated you." "Oh, how you have defeated me. How you have defeated me," Advaita Acharya said. Lord Chaitanya then said to Advaita Acharya, said, "When I go to the temple of Lord Jagannath, I position myself in such a way that I at all times will have the darshan of Lord Jagannath. But you did the parikrama of the deities, and in this way you went around the back of the deities, and therefore I have defeated you." And Advaita Acharya said, yes, you have defeated me. So it's an interesting story because it illustrates really our point, like that the parikrama is the essence of all regulative principles. You must do, right? You must do. And we have, and of course Prabhupada did, so we are also doing. We must do, but at the same time we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had another level of relating to the deity, of not being able to bear a moment of separation, and that the essence was really the darshan of the Supreme Lord. So it's a very interesting theme to research, is to how much Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is rooted in the Vedic culture, and how much the movement is transcending the Vedic culture. But clearly, the movement is transcending the Vedic culture, and Prabhupada used that example of, he said, Vedic culture is a very refined process of reformation, and it is just like the goldsmith who is trying to shape an ornament with a fine little hammer. He's trying to reshape the ornament. In that way, Vedic culture is trying to reshape the a person and purify him. Whereas the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like the sledgehammer of the blacksmith, and in one blow, poof, yeah, job done. Yeah. So it's interesting how this Harinam Sankirtan is like a sledgehammer and will just iron out all impurities by making a person, by gradually making a person mad. Huh? That's what we see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was chanting and went to his spiritual master with a complaint. I've been following your order, I'm chanting this name, it's made me mad. It's made me, oh, you are very fortunate. So this madness is the core of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, this transcendental attachment to Krishna, which grows deeper and deeper day by day, moment by moment. So the service of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas will protect us from committing offenses, will bring upon us the grace of Krishna, because the Vaishnavas have pleased Krishna. I think in this regards, I like to tell a story about one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, who came to our temple in Vrindavan every year for Srila Prabhupada's appearance day. Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj became very, very old, as many of you, he passed over 100 years old. So when he was a little younger, he would come to Vrindavan and he would commemorate different pastimes together with Prabhupada. But the last time he came the two last times I'll describe. He came one time outside of the festival, and he came to the temple, and he offered his full obeisances to in front of Prabhupada's deities. It took four men to put him down and to put him back up. And then in front of all the three altars, the whole thing took like 45 minutes, you know, just to go up and down. And then went to Prabhupada's house. And then he said, I want the Mahaprasad. So that was something that he had never done before, first time that he ate in our temple. He took the Mahaprasad. Then, when he came the last time, he came and they carried him in. He was, I think, 93. That's the last time he came. And he sat down, they put him on the Vyasasan, they sort of carried him and dropped him on the Vyasasan. He landed like that, it was a little rough, you know. And then he spoke very short, and he said, Swamiji, referring to Prabhupada, he said, Swamiji, he made you all Vaishnavas. So, he said, a Vaishnava can give blessings. So you all, please bless me. And that was it. That was all he said. It was the last speech he ever gave in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And it was really, it impressed me a lot, because I was thinking, when you're 93 and you have a whole life behind you, you start to think, what have I done? What have I done for the Lord in my life? Is it going to be enough? I doubt it. Right? Now, you know, I need all the blessings I can get. That's the mood of a Vaishnava, to say, I need all the blessings I can get. And I could just see that. And he it was very simple, but very logical, step by step. Swamiji made you all Vaishnavas, giving Prabhupada credit for making so many Vaishnavas and recognizing the Western devotees as Vaishnavas, and say, and therefore you can all give blessings. So, because Vaishnavas can give blessings, then you bless me, please. It was well thought out, a good plan. So I also want such blessings from all the Vaishnavas, because through the blessings of the Vaishnavas, one can attain the mercy of Krishna. And therefore, we are always worshipping the Vaishnavas, and in that way, hoping to make this life a success. Any questions, any comments? Hare Krishna, Sureshwar Prabhu.
So Maharaj, if you ask me, Sureshwar, please bless me that I can, whatever, I can serve nicely. And I'm thinking, what? How can I bless Kadamba Khan, Maharaj?
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that a Vaishnava is capable of giving blessings, every Vaishnava, and that just by wearing tilak, a Vaishnava is blessing all other Vaishnavas, everyone actually, the whole Vaishnava community and all the Vaishnavas. So, I guess how to bless a senior is the question. Blessing a senior is not done in a way that we are thinking that we are in a position of superiority, but all one can do is simply say, my dear Krishna, if there's any credit to the tiny little bit of service that I've done, then please let that credit go to that Vaishnava. That is all we can do. We cannot offer anything more than the credit that we have obtained by our service. It's like, I'm often thinking about that as since I am somehow or other initiating people in spiritual life, and I'm often thinking like, on what strength am I doing that? And I'm thinking I'm doing that on the strength of the service of Prabhupada, who did so much service that he purchased Krishna. Then he could attract Krishna to deliver people at 16 rounds, four regulative principles, and take him back to Godhead. Although Krishna Prem is really a requirement for entering into the spiritual world, but I guess we get it somewhere on the way. And then my service is very meager. Very little service of what I've done, the sacrifice I've made for the Lord. So therefore, by faithfully saying yes, 16 rounds, four regulative principles, and reminding people follow that, Prabhupada's promise is still there. So it's the combination then of my faithful service to Prabhupada, upholding his standards, and the service he has done. So a Vaishnava, it has the blessings he carries are the equivalent of the service that he has done for the Lord.
Thank you.
Mahaprabhu.
I have a story one godbrother told, Shivananda. He was with Prabhupada in Germany. This is probably 69. And they were on a morning walk alone together, and then at a certain point they sat on a bench. They were chanting their rounds, I guess. And Prabhupada turned to Shivananda and said, Shivananda, pray for me. Mm-hmm. Of course, Shivananda was thinking, how can I pray for Prabhupada? So he said, Prabhupada, how can I pray for you? And Prabhupada said, you're a Vaishnava, Krishna will listen to you. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that sheds some light on this.
Same point, yeah. Yeah, really, really nice. It also reminds me of of that famous purport in the Dhruva Maharaj section, where Prabhupada is simply saying that just as Dhruva Maharaj was taking his mother back to Godhead, who was initially instructing him. So he's taking, in a way, his instructing guru, his guru he's taking back. And Prabhupada said in the purport, that famous purport, in the same way I hope that one of my disciples will become a pure devotee and take me back to Godhead, yeah, which is also there. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a very nice class. But somehow or other, I don't want to accept your saying that we're limited by our own standing in devotional service in giving blessings. And I think of Srila Prabhupada in his humility saying in the last months, he said, I can do nothing. I am nobody, but I am praying to Krishna on your behalf. And so even though I may, in the true sense of the word, be worth nothing, an idiot, you know, but if somehow or other we follow the mood or the desire of our spiritual master that we want to be transparent in praying to Krishna and Guru, that they, so sure, there's no limit. I'll put it as a question, but I'm hoping I'm right, that we don't block the unlimited mercy that could come down, yeah, even though we're so limited.
Yeah, I think I also said that in a way, because I was trying to explain how I'm initiating, you know, like with, and how Prabhupada's mercy is present there. So, of course, the opening of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is Vande Gurun, all the acharyas, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that means all the previous acharyas, and they have all, right? All their blessings are upon us, and we are carrying them in a way. But it's maybe that Kalyana Kalpataru, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, he says that my spiritual master gave me this auspicious Kalpataru, this auspicious desire tree. It can produce all the fruits of love of God, but due to my harsh nature, I have covered the potency of this tree, but in the association of the Vaishnavas can be restored in its original glory. So we can also see an element of our own shortcomings kind of overshadowing the blessings that are coming from the previous generations. We have to really do all we can to be a proper Vayamidya. Tri Vikram Maharaj once told me that Prabhupada came down the stairs and did a little pirouette at the bottom of the stairs and said, my spiritual master made me a diamond. We have to become diamonds. Suresh Rahul.
Almost the same thing he said, I agree.
Hold on, take the microphone.
Prabhupada was in the old farmhouse temple in New Vrindavan, 69. And Shamadasi said, so Prabhupada was chanting back and forth in the room. And then he took his chutter and he just whirled around, did a pirouette, just like an actor on a stage, and said, my spiritual master has made me a jewel, and I will make you all jewels. Yeah.
Nice. Very good. Yeah. Well, it's really nice to be in your association, you know. I mean, you're bringing in such jewels in this lecture that it's really wonderful to be in your sangha. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.